This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. On Friday, we brought you part one of a real-life horror story. Emily Yaffe, Slate's so-called human guinea pig, had decided to enter the Mrs. Washington, D.C. beauty pageant as a middle-aged woman. But Emily found to her shock that she was the only entrant, so she was about to win by default. She was going to the Mrs. America pageant. Today, we pick up Emily's tale on the day she was to be crowned Mrs. Washington, D.C.
It was the morning of the pageant, June 26th. The seven Mrs. Maryland contestants and I, the sole entry for Mrs. Washington, D.C., gathered at the home of the pageant director, Lorette, and opened our gifts to each other. At least I opened their gifts to me, since my spam filter ate the email from Lorette about the gift-giving. Everyone looked great in their bright summery outfits, their hair and nails professionally done, exuding confidence in their good looks. I exuded neglect. I felt like one of those cuckoo's eggs that gets dumped by its mother to be hatched in a bluebird's nest. Lorette then handed out the goodie bag. It included a pair of rhinestone earrings with different designs for each contestant. Nikki, who had dark hair and eyes, alabaster skin, and perfect face and figure, locked on my prettier earrings. "Would you like to trade?" she asked, smiling. I wouldn't, but I realized this was my one pathetic shot at the Mrs. Congeniality title. I made the exchange. All the women except one were pageant veterans, several having started on the Miss America circuit. It was clear this was no passing girlhood fantasy of being chosen the most beautiful. This was a perpetual chance to be celebrated for the hard work they put into perfecting themselves. We went to the community center where the pageant was to be held. We practiced our evening gown walk and our bathing suit walk. We learned to give everyone a good view of our backsides. It was too late for liposuction. I commented that maybe when the judges saw me in my bathing suit, they would decide not to crown a Mrs. D.C. this year, the way the Nobel Peace Prize usually doesn't get awarded during world wars. That sent Nikki over the edge. "You've got to stop that," she said, putting her flawless face right into mine. "You are going to the Nationals. You have won, but you are not out there alone. You are competing against us. You want those judges to look at you and say, 'She blows all those other girls away.'" It was part pep talk, part dressing down. During the opening number, I achieved my goal of not bumping into another contestant while we twirled. I then did my bathing suit circuit for the judges, my smile as joyful as rigor mortis. Finally, it was time to announce the winners. Nikki won Mrs. Maryland. I tried to look pleasantly surprised by my predetermined win. I received a 2-foot-tall trophy and a tiara. In Henry IV, Part II, Shakespeare writes, "Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown." This couldn't be more wrong. I quickly discovered that a crown lies very easily on the head. A head with a crown feels young and happy and knows that the crown is exactly where it belongs. The next day, I thought of times it would be appropriate to wear the crown. Grocery shopping and walking the dog both seem right. But I knew I had to give Lorette the bad news. I was withdrawing. I couldn't take going to the Nationals. My husband ominously warned that they would sue me. "I can just see the headlines now," I replied. "Beauty officials force a dumpy woman to wear bathing suit on national TV." I called Lorette and thanked her for an amazing experience. Then I told her I was resigning as Mrs. Washington, D.C. I'd had a shorter but happier reign than that of Anne Boleyn. "Really?" she said, then got off the phone explaining she was in the middle of something. Maybe she was going to prepare a lawsuit. The next day she called me back. "I have made many people happy by walking out of their lives, but none so much as Lorette." She sounded thrilled about the whole turn of events. She told me I'd been a good sport and that she was working on a likely replacement. Then she told me that I had to return the crown.
Emily Yaffe is Slate's long-suffering human guinea pig. You'll find both parts of Emily's beauty contest story plus pictures and links to her Slate articles at npr.org.